Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 at 2. And the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the Founding Fathers are absolutely brilliant. And that's why we reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Wow, the hour, last hour with Lowell Nelson, epic, incredible, award-winning broadcast, to say the least, full of historical reality and full of solutions. By the way, on Saturday, we covered today is National Superhero Day. Did you know that was last Saturday? They're talking about Superman and Batman and all those guys. But Sam sounds off on a few of his superheroes' role models. The lead, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. More than a superhero, to say the least, the literal son of God. Sarah Sanders prays before every press briefing. You gotta like that. Attacked relentlessly by the comedian thug. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds today. But good for Sarah. What an example. While I was talking about Sarah Sanders and her example of praying for every press briefing, they were literally in a pornographic mode mocking Sarah at every turn. What a disgrace. We talked about a poll. Melania Trump is a much more popular first lady than Hillary Clinton ever was. And we talked about Melania and the wonderful job she does leading her own department in government, and how she does so on about a third of the budget, 40% of the budget of her predecessor. Wow. And she talks about less bullying, less violence, random acts of kindness, all kind of things. In my opinion, the first lady Melania should be celebrated. She's Christian. She prays as well. What an example. We need more of it, folks. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live on Saturday. Hour 2, our guest, Neldon Johnson. He's the inventor of Raw Power 3, R-A, the word power and the number 3, R-A, power, number 3.com. And we discussed disruptive technologies being used and deployed around the world. And we talked about, hey, government is making it very difficult. How much do you know about PURPA, for example? P-U-R-P-A, it's an acronym. Learn about it. Last Saturday's broadcast, available at libertyroundtable.com for free. We talked about Clean Energy CEO admits offshore wind technology is awful, terrible policy, he says. The technology is not bad, folks, just the government manipulating it is. Mike Kennedy, another American hero in my humble opinion, a Utah legislator now on the national stage running for senator, kicks off primary campaign at his home Friday night, puts a couple $100,000, I think $250,000 of his own money, lends it to his campaign to kick it all off. What an incredible example, going head-to-head with Mitt Romney. Hopefully the people can make this happen. We don't have to have as much money as the other guys, but a little bit of cash, a little bit of people on the ground working, and a little bit of media coverage can make the difference if the people engage and get involved and find out the truth. We support Mike Kennedy. We hope to get him on the radio with us soon. We talked about the crash of 1929. Could it happen again? The answer is absolutely, and 10 times worse. So the reality is we need to talk about honest money. Now, I hear the Republicans are working on a secret plan to repeal Obamacare once again. I pray they're successful before the elections. It might just be the key to save their election prospects for 18. Kanye West and John Legend talk Trump at Chrissy Teigen's baby shower. And, you know, the interesting thing about this discussion is that they agreed to disagree. And it wasn't a meltdown. They agreed to do so agreeably. We need more of that in our society, less attacking of one another and a respect for different opinions. John Legend and Kanye West, they don't agree. But what an example to say, let's just agree to disagree on this. We don't have to beat each other up. We can just say, you know what? We don't agree with each other. That's okay in America, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. That's the broadcast on Saturday. Our first hour today, we talked to Lowell Nelson about how we arm and train and fund enemies around the world, suggesting that we're allying ourselves with the good guys. The problem is you don't even know who the good guys are over there oftentimes. The good guys today are the bad guys tomorrow. The good guys today are just less bad than the bad guys of now. And it's a very, very, very shifty world, to say the least. That's why the founders warned us to avoid foreign entanglements. Big time. Now, while we're arming in the name of peace around the world, we're disarming and claiming that's peace when we disarm the good guys in America. What a tragedy. But last hour was epic. It'll be up right after the broadcast today. You can check it out if you missed it. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. They had the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend, Kurt. And Trump calls for the end of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He said this year was an embarrassment to everyone associated with it. Boy, is he right. Anyway, this Michelle Wolf went off. It was a pornographic-laden supposed comedy event. I didn't find it very funny. It's creating polarizing viewpoints on Twitter and everywhere, largely along partisan lines, tragically enough. The bottom line, though, is this has become an immoral, in my opinion, over-the-top display of what we let happen at the White House, ladies and gentlemen. And Donald's trying to distance himself from it. But it all comes down to this reality check of, you know, this is on C-SPAN and covered. There's videos of it all over YouTube and everything else. I don't know where the FCC is, though. This is literally a pornographic-laced attack on literally everybody, including the president and those who represent him. Donald Trump chose not to go. He spent time in Pennsylvania with the people. Good for President Trump. Nevertheless, this thing's got to be shut down, Kurt. Do you know much about this?
You know, I wouldn't really say that I could tell you any history about it. I read a little bit of the report.
Well, there's a correspondence organization similar to the Press Club that got created in like 1904. They spend about $350,000 a year. And the bottom line is this is, on one hand, it plots the seating charts for government and cleans up the White House press room facilities. And I mean, they have a couple of, in my opinion, non-important tasks, but then their primary focus is to host this dinner, which started out pretty decent, but then just kind of went worse and worse and worse and worse. And over the last, 20 years or so, it's just turned into a pornographic roast where they hire comedians who just simply mock everything under the sun. And this one was especially laced with profanity and perversion and what a disgrace. Donald saying it should end. It was an embarrassment. He's spot on, Kurt. But again, we're just going to talk about it. Nothing's going to get done, probably.
Well, that's what I expect, Sam. And you, what you see is just this it's almost a disintegration of our society when you have, you know, really, you know, just a continued dropping of the quality of our lives, I guess you'd say, in the debate, if you will. You just have more and more debauchery, I thought it was interesting one part of it where they said they were celebrating freedom of speech, you know, the First Amendment, and I thought, yeah, you know, companies and individuals who claim to, you know, for example, have solutions about health care and things like that are told, no, you can't say those things. But, you know, we allow people to say all these bad words and debauchery kind of things, and that's okay. You know, it's just...
Well, that's where we are. And, you know, if I criticize it, they say, well, what about free speech? However, if I try to use my free speech to defend the Founding Fathers, they say, racist terrorist. Okay, I mean, this could not be more clear, but Donald's right. We need to call for the end of the White House correspondence dinners. Donald's right on this, Kurt, but again, I think that I don't really see anything moving the needle on this. I don't see that we're going to change it, really, because the Friends of Liberty aren't enough to demand it, Kurt. If we demand it, if we just simply call the White House and Congress and everywhere else and demanded an end to this perversion, we could stop it tomorrow. But I think most Americans are either, one, confused on the issue about what the First Amendment really means, or they are not engaged enough to care, Kurt. And between those two things, I submit to you that the president's spot on for his call, but I don't see it gaining traction. Do you? I pray that it would.
Well, you know, he'd have to have the, I mean, the people, I believe, you know, understand or that they just want out of this whole swamp thing. But the problem is there's not enough coverage of what really happens there, I think, you know. And so they're not even aware of it.
And if there is coverage, it's slanted to where people are like, well, I don't really want to shut down free speech. I don't agree with this. And my problem is I'm okay if this committee wants to say what she wants in some other private property venue, right? Not that I agree with her rant, but I got a problem with it when it's basically, what, this is in the White House, Kurt?
As far as I understand, they call it the White House Correspondents Association, you know.
So it's very strange, yeah. And my problem with it is we're using government and the, I don't know what you call it. It's kind of like FedEx, for example. People think it's like federal or something, or the Federal Reserve or whatever. They kind of back into this existence where they kind of partner with government, but they're really they're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, supposedly, Kurt. But in my opinion, if these people are going to peddle pornography, then they ought to really be shut down as a 501c3. See, the only people we want to shut down at 501c3 and attack them are the churches, Kurt, the religious folks, because they're too, quote, political. But the bottom line is that they're peddling perversion with special granted status from the government. And then it's kind of a quasi thing where it's not really government, but yet it is because they're involved on government property and kind of sanctioned by the government to be partners and things, and very strange arrangements, to say the least. We reject it. Michelle Wolf, what a shame. Donald's right. Shut it down.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
A mega merger's in the works. Kurt has the tales.
Yeah, Sam, it looks like I was just going to ask you, you know, we've heard about these, I guess you could say, ideas for years, but now it looks like T-Mobile and Sprint are teaming up, Sam, and what I found interesting is apparently the guys at T-Mobile basically are controlled or owned by what's called Deutsche Telekom AG. It's a German company. And then you have SoftBank Group Corp. That's the Japanese owner of Sprint. So you got the Germans and the Japanese kind of teaming up again, Sam. They say the combination will create a fierce competitor with the network scale to deliver more for consumers and businesses in the form of lower prices, more innovation, and a second-to-none network experience. That's what John, says he's the T-Mobile boss who's going to serve as the chief executive officer of the combined entity. The changes will come faster than either company could do on its own, he said. So what's your analysis of this?
Well, my analysis is several fold, okay? And the reason I say that is it depends on how you look at it. If you want to look at it and say, hey, believe it or not, these two struggling companies, that we believe there's four, you know, big players in this market. Hey, three would be less competition. But I submit to you that there's more competition because the third player will be viable enough to compete with the first two. Right now, neither of the second two can compete with the first two. And so there's really less competition. Even though there's four, there would be more competition if there were three. And I know that sounds a little bit contradictory, but the third player would be big enough to take on the other two, creating real competition, whereas now there's kind of a profit-sharing plan of the big two, and the other two are so far behind that it's not possible for much competition. So that's the first thing, just from an economic standpoint. But my issue is even bigger, and that comes down to this 5G promises. They promise incredible 5G capability, if you will. And 5G is the next gen of communications, if you will, Kurt. It's like 3G, 4G, 5G. 5G is going to be the fastest, lowest latency, incredible communications. In other words, more bandwidth, faster, better connectivity everywhere. And it sounds awesome. And it is. And so if you want to take it from a strict technology point of view, it's incredible. And the more we can heat up and push towards 5G with the most competition, the better. The problem that I have with it is when you take two companies backed by two countries, like Germany and Japan, and you then give them control over our communications competition in America, I'm not too comfortable with 5G controlled by the Japanese and Germans. Are you, Kurt? And some would say, well, Sam, that's the most racist statement ever. Wait a minute. In the 40s, we had a problem with the Japanese, right? And the Germans, didn't we, Kurt? And you could say, well, all that's over now, Sam. We're the best of friends now. We're all first world countries. We're all just blessed people working together. Yeah, but is that going to always stay that way? And the answer is, if it hasn't been that way in history, it won't be that way in the future. History repeats itself. And so it depends on which way you want to look at it. If you want to say about competition, I believe this merger will create more competition. If you want to talk about 5G technology, I think it'll be incredible that it'll come faster and easier. But my concerns are twofold. I'm not interested in foreign nations having control of our communications technology, number one. Number two, I'm not interested in the spying that the Germans and the Japanese might bring to the table, since they are in America but aren't quite subject to American laws. What will all that mean? And can they track all of our communications with offshore servers? And where does all that go with blockchain technology and some of these things, to where might they archive all of our communications and not even let the Americans know they have it? And if they do, it's encrypted in a way that we can't know what they even have on who, where, when. And all I'm telling you is this has international implications that are of great concern. With wars around the world, we're in over 130 nations militarily speaking. I think we have troops in Germany and Japan, to make my point, right this very second. And all I'm telling you is this has epic repercussions for a compromising of the United States' stability from a communications standpoint. I don't like it, Kurt. I think it's ill-advised. But if you only talk about technology and the economy, it makes total sense. If you talk about the repercussions that put America, in my opinion, in a very unfavorable position from a communications point of view and from a privacy point of view, then epic concerns emerge. So there's my take, Kurt.
I thought you might have something to say about it. Very good.
What do you think of my take on it? Did I break it down on the kitchen table in a meaningful way?
I agree with. I can't think of anything I disagree with on there. But it seems like so many times, you've talked about the Googles, the Amazons, these massive companies that emerge because they get the government blessing, if you will. This looks like to me more of the same. You've got, so you'll have what, AT&T, Verizon, and then this Sprint, the mixture here, that would be the big three that you'll have to choose from, I guess, right?
Yes. And, you know, I don't know how to handle all this because, remember, technology is not good or bad, Kurt. It just exists. It's all in the hands of who's using it and how for what, right?
Yep.
So let's be very clear. I'm not critical of the technology, and I'm not critical of the free market, if there really is such a free market. I'm just really concerned when outsiders from foreign nations team up to buy our infrastructure. I'm very concerned if it's a bridge controlled by foreign nations, if it's communications, it doesn't matter what it is. Every time we have manufacturing and infrastructure controlled by somebody else, we put ourselves at a national security risk, Kurt.
And I'll bet, Sam, that if you ask people, you know, say 100 people who are the owners of T-Mobile and Sprint, I think you'd find very few of them that know that they're owned by basically by those governments, you know, Japan and Germany.
Well, and it's hard to say they're owned by those governments. You got to be careful because the government doesn't really own them, Kurt. But they control them.
Yeah.
And so,
well, they control those owners, those people that
are
there, those big corporations. That's how they got, you know, those special deals.
You're right.
And that's
You're
how they have
right.
the money to, you know, basically play in this area.
But I'm just telling you, if you said that the government's on them, then the mainstream press would come back and slaughter us saying they're not even factually correct. Well, that's true, but it doesn't change Kurt's point, right? Kurt's point is, and that's why I got a problem with a lot of these international trade agreements. We have these governments subsidizing these technologies, these capabilities, this manufacturing, all these things, and then we wonder why we can't compete on the national stage. Well, Donald's right to bring up these trade deals. I don't think Donald will really get to the bottom of it. He's a lot more bluster than he is, you know, substance. But the truth is, hey, I'm concerned about this. The problem is, do you stop the merger from going through, Kurt? Do you let foreign nations buy and control these massive entities that literally control infrastructure in America? Communications today is considered infrastructure, right? What do you do? Do you let them do it?
Well, it seems like you have so many things to try to keep track of. You certainly don't want to hamper the free enterprise system. You know, I certainly don't want to do that. But what's so amazing to me is what you find when you see these. You get a, you know, you could certainly argue that you could have governments, you know, that are not our country, basically buying up parts of America. And is that a threat to our, you know,
sovereignty.
National security?
Well,
sovereignty.
Guess who owns the uranium in Nevada there, Kurt, or, you know, Oregon and some of these other places?
Point.
Who owns that?
Well, as far as I understand, that was the Hillary crowd handed it off to Russia, right?
And there's no collusion between Hillary and the Russians, Kurt?
Well, that's what we're told, right?
You know, see, I just don't understand this. And so we're putting ourselves at tremendous risk, and I'm not so sure. I don't know where the lines are drawn, and let me explain why. It's not that I'm not willing to come up with solutions, but it is that I don't have enough inside intel. I'm just kind of looking at this from the outside is the problem. And so this is where Kurt's point when he says, Sam, sometimes we don't know enough about it to decide. I would kind of find myself in some of these situations in that position. But I will say this, you don't have to literally tamper with the markets. You can just come back and say, hey, if you're going to have services in the United States from foreign countries controlling it, if we're going to tariff products coming in, can we tariff services coming in, Kurt? And that's how I would approach it, because I wouldn't tamper with the market, but I would say, hey, we're not going to stop you from having infrastructure here or whatever. But we are going to make sure that we have an appropriate playing field, and we're going to make sure that the American people have the ability to fund the proper role of limited government. And we're going to make sure that you don't think your communications entities can be subsidized by your governments and disrupting our communications. We're not going to do that. So there's ways to back into this. But again, I don't have enough intel on the inside to know all the details of the ramifications. I would need some advisors and some intel, I'm sure, based on classified and behind-the-scenes information. But I would at least provide that as a solution. We cannot tamper with the market, but we can advocate for the freest country on the earth.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio. By the way, did you know this half hour is brought to you in part by raw honey delivered directly to your door? I'm telling you right now, it tastes phenomenal. It's great for your health. It's a pretty sweet deal, I'm telling you. Raw honey delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or smile and dial 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get a better deal on raw honey, then become a member of GiveMeLibertyFund.com. And when you are, all you got to tell Kurt is you're a member of the Give Me Liberty Fund, and you'll get incredible discounts on raw honey. GiveMeLibertyFund.com to become a member today and create a win-win-win situation for patriots. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess a cougar, some are calling it a cougar, some are calling it a mountain lion, believe it or not, wandered into a town in Utah. Yeah, I guess the cougar wandered into Fillmore, Utah, and was just hanging out in the city streets there. Wow. Kind of an interesting thing if you're just hanging out and all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's a cougar over there. Kind of weird stuff, but that's what happens in the Rocky Mountains when you're out here in the country, you know. You get them cougars just wandering in the town. I guess nobody got hurt. They safely got the cougar and they, let it go out in the country or out in the, you know, they just somehow gotten in the wrong place there. I don't know if it was searching for food or how it got confused and got there or whatever else, but there you go. That's a cat story. Just do cat videos about that dude, huh, Kurt? I'm just saying, wow. Yeah, pretty strange stuff. But I'm less worried about the cougars or the mountain lions in the cities in America than I am worried about government bureaucrats running around everywhere. I mean, they're more dangerous than them wildcats for sure. You want to know why wildcats don't have guns, Kurt? Bureaucrats have guns while they're trying to disarm the good guys, by the way.
Good point.
All right, government schools are in the news. Very negative. But again, they got a culture war going on. The government's participating oftentimes on the wrong side of the issue. Kurt, Bob Unruh writes the piece.
So it's a piece from WorldNet Daily, Bob Unruh, and we're talking about, you said government schools, I'm trying to, oh, the explicit sex videos? Is
yes,
that
sir.
What we're talking about? Man, I'll tell you what, it's, I guess you could say it goes from bad to worse, but a school district in Virginia is being warned by a team of lawyers that the presentation of explicit sex videos to classes of 14-year-old girls likely were felony violations of state and federal laws. I guess it's in what they call the Albemarle County Public Schools. Never heard of that county, but our buddy Matt Staver of Liberty Council is smack dab in the middle of this one. He says that these public schools must sever their relationship with Planned Parenthood's what he calls their shocking assault on children. Then he says that this kind of gutter trash has no place in public schools. This is not education. This is raping children. The school district has caused irreversible harm to children and parents. The school must never allow this to happen again. Anyway, you just...
But, Kurt, I mean, it's just, there's only one way to ensure that it won't happen again, sir.
Well, yeah, you got to... Shut those
government schools down.
Bad
imagine
institutions
this.
Down.
So yeah. They're saying Kurt Crosby can't have his videos on YouTube because, buddy, they're just dangerous for society. Got to shut them down, said the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's really become the thought police for YouTube and Google and everybody else. Meanwhile, though, they can peddle this to 14-year-old girls in government school, Kurt. Sanctioned by
really
your tax dollars.
Yeah. They call it sex positivity training. From something called Sarah, Sam. And Sarah is short for, let's see if I can find it for you, but, you know, just so that you know how to find this in your area, I guess. But like Sam says, the key thing is you've got to get government out of this whole thing. Yeah, Sarah stands for Sexual Assault Resource Agency.
Uh-huh.
And, man, I'll tell you what, you got to...
But Kurt,
you can't
believe
these kind of stories.
You're right, but can I just challenge the headline? It says schools explicit sex videos for 14-year-olds outrage parents. See, I don't think parents are outraged much, Kurt. There might be a few parents going, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. My little daughter, my little so-and-so is you know, getting indoctrinated with porn via the government schools backed by tax dollars and backed by Planned Parenthood, who we seem to cannot get rid of, either of them. The government education system or Planned Parenthood. But these parents aren't really that incensed, Kurt. You want to know how I know?
They keep them in there.
That's right. They're just jawing at the mouth concerned, and I don't deny they're genuine concerned. But they're not taking action that would stop it, Kurt. The government schools are just going to say, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. And then what they're going to do is go to softer porn and then only return to the hardcore porn more so when people aren't looking or when the limelight's not on them and tell guys like Bob Unruh and WND.com and Liberty Roundtable and the good guys, the new media taking center stage, bring it up again. Then they'll back off and go, oh, my goodness, we'll put provisions in place to make sure this never happens again. And they'll go on like that. But the truth is nothing's going to change, Kurt. Okay, they're not going to sever their relationship with Planned Parenthood, are they, Kurt? The Congress won't sever itself with Planned Parenthood, even though the Republicans ran on the fact that they would, and even though they hold the majority, they're still not doing it, Kurt.
Yeah, they gave them full funding in the recent debacle, you know.
Yeah, and I agree with Matt Staver. This is not education. This is raping children. But do you think they care, Kurt?
It doesn't seem like... number one, that enough people will know about it. And number two, that if they do, you know, what are they to do about it, Sam? It seems like an out-of-control train going down a mountain that you just go, hey, how can I step in front of that and stop it?
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, while they're not kicking out Planned Parenthood or porn in schools, parents are outraged, but nothing's going to happen. It's going to continue, and it's going to expand to a school near you, folks. While that's going on, Kurt, there's an Alabama school teacher who's a good guy, and he made an epic mistake. Scott Moorfield writes the piece that I'm drawing from on this, but an Alabama teacher, a good guy, well, he put on a shirt, Kurt, and it had the word pray on it, and then he went to the government school.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Now you could, you know, put something on it. Some other four-letter word, but not pray.
Roger that. I mean, this teacher got shut down and sent home for having a shirt that said pray on it. Can't do that, Kurt. So while we allow porn and Planned Parenthood in the government schools, funded by our tax dollars, a teacher on their own, you know, choice. Whoa, that choice word comes up, speaking of choice. Anyway, and they literally shut this teacher home and send him packing. Now the teacher's in trouble, Kurt. How dare you wear the word pray on your shirt in the government schools? People might actually do that, Kurt. But 14-year-old little girls are learning how to have perverted sex, huh?
Yeah, you can sure see the dangerous situation they're in when they have that word pray in the government schools.
Yeah. Wow. All right. I don't even know how to respond to all this, but the contrast is just, again, every time we see the contrast become more and more and more divided, or whatever you want to say, more and more easy to see the contrast, whatever words you want to say, the wheat and the tares are not together much anymore. You literally promote pornography and rape the children's minds and hearts in government schools with pornography backed by Planned Parenthood to promote unsafe, in my opinion, immoral sexual activity. You can promote that, but then you can't have a teacher with the word pray on the shirt running around the halls there now. Can't have the Ten Commandments up, but you can teach perverted sex. And after all, I mean, it's free speech. They have a right to learn about this stuff, says the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, backed by government school dollars. And when you and I try to complain about it, they run on this idea that they're going to shut it down and stop it. And then we elect them and they fully fund it. And then they wonder why next election they're on the ropes. I mean, it's beyond imagination. Well, I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm going to tell you that I'm going to pray for this school teacher that had pray on the shirt. And maybe if we all pray together, we can turn this thing around. But wow, the contrast is startling. And parents are outraged, and I'm glad they are, but I don't think they're outraged enough yet, Kurt. What is it going to take? What is it going to take to get outraged enough to move the needle towards real change, real solutions, and to stop this perversion? What's it going to take, Kurt? How far do we have to go before parents are outraged enough to really change the game? Any idea?
You know, I would have thought before hearing about this and so many other stories we see, that none of this would ever happen. And yet, you know, we're told that in the last days, good is called evil and evil is called good. And that we're going to see this kind of thing. I just didn't want to see it.
Amen to that. Well, what if you roll into the University of Texas? It ought to get better in the conservative state of Texas, ought it not, Kurt? Not so fast.
That's
Sam and Kurt in seconds, the University of Texas, front and center for discussion on your radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
They might think Texas is a pretty conservative state, but the city of Austin is quite liberal to say the least. University of Texas in the news, Kurt. This, again, is the indoctrination we're talking about, whether it's porn in the government schools for 14-year-olds that parents are mad about, whether it's shutting down a teacher that wants to have prayer on the shirt. On to this, the general efforts by the insiders at government schools backed by your tax dollars are very clear what their agenda is, Kurt.
It's kind of crazy, but anyway, the headline reads, University of Texas to treat masculinity as a mental health issue. Tony Erakasinen is the author, I guess. The Counseling and Mental Health Center at the University of Texas at Austin recently launched a new program to help male students, quote, take control over their gender identity and develop a healthy sense of masculinity, end quote. Says treating masculinity as if it were a mental health crisis is organized by the school's counseling staff and most recently organized a poster series encouraging students to develop a healthy model of masculinity. The program, they say, is predicated on a critique of so-called restrictive masculinity. Men, the program argues, suffer when they are told to, quote, act like a man, or when they are encouraged to fulfill traditional gender roles, such as being successful or the breadwinner. Though you might enjoy taking care of people or being active, the masculine UT, University of Texas, warns that many of these attributes are actually dangerous, claiming that traditional ideas of masculinity place men into rigid or restrictive boxes, which prevent them from developing their emotional maturity. Yeah, they went on to say in this article, if you're a male student at UT, that's University of Texas, not Utah, probably coming our way soon, reading this right now, we hope that learning about this helps you not feel guilty about having participated in these definitions of masculinity, and instead feel empowered to break the cycle the program offers. The program
is so what they're really trying to do is redefine what masculinity means. They're really trying to redefine what, Kurt? The gender bender reality of modern society based on relativism and based on perversion, or what? I mean, what's really going on here?
Well, here's my first question is this anything for the University of Texas to even talk about or do? I mean,
well, hold on, it depends on your focus. If you want to have the proper role of education, no. If you want to pervert the nation and use government funding to do it, and then basically slap everybody who is against this gender modification or redefinition of gender proper roles. In other words, striking at the very heart of the family, and they want to destroy the family, thus destroying society, then the answer is absolutely they need to be involved. It all depends on what reference point you come from, Kurt.
That's a great point. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the days of old when I'd hear this phrase, women's studies. And I thought, in the days of old, like, say, when my grandma was born or when my mom was born or whatever, women's studies would have had to do with, you know, like, hey, they had, you know, they'd teach them to cook and to sew.
See, now you're becoming a chauvinist, my friend.
But look back at how it was. You know, they'd be, you know, helping them learn how to be a mom, maybe. Really, you learn all that. You should have learned all that in the days of old by just being with your mom. And yet, you know, at least at first, they kind of did some of that.
I enrolled in a women's studies class, Kurt, 26 years ago. Yeah. I married one.
There you go.
And I've been studying her and trying to make her happy and learning how to,
That's right.
Focus on our appropriate gender roles, and instead of them being divisionary, they're complementary, and I've been learning how to make sure that we complement each other well and lead a family together as co-equals. And I would look to the Proclamation on the Family. It's a document written by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for the appropriate gender roles. Maybe that's the text for this government class in Austin, Texas, University of Texas at Austin there, Kurt. Maybe they're going to use the Proclamation on the Family to talk about appropriate gender roles and such. Oh, can't
that
I
would
only
be
wish.
Illegal, Sam.
In fact, I might even walk in there with my prayer t-shirt on and get kicked out if I did that there, see? This is the problem, Kurt, is all depends on definitions and what the agenda is. And they shut down a teacher that wants to have prayer on the t-shirt. They literally promote porn to 14-year-olds. And then they want to work with the males to change their gender identity to a new definition.
Yeah, you know, you've got the old days when, the job. They'd have job postings of like, hey, maybe you'd work hauling hay, or, you know, work on taking care of cows, maybe milking cows or doing things like that, you know, for guys or even, you know, other people. And now you've got in this story, it says the school is in the process of hiring a, quote, healthy masculinities coordinator to run the program. I mean, imagine you could put that on your business cards.
Yeah. But see, here's the problem, Kurt. You and I talking about this just shows how mentally disturbed we really are. Isn't that really what the headline's saying, Kurt? If you and I stand up against it, then we're mental cases. That's how they want to play this. They want to lie.
Wow.
Okay? Because look, the whole thing says University of Texas to treat masculinity as a mental health issue. You and me, my friend, according to them, I mean, we're a non-starter in this debate, this discussion, because I mean, we're mentally disturbed. We can't help it, but they need to help us. They just love us, and they want to help us. And that's how they're framing this lie. Wow.
That's a great point, Sam.
All right, well, let's go to Russia's floating nuclear plant then. That ought to make you feel better.
Well, yeah, I saw this, and I thought, man, you know, our buddy Neldon Johnson and the RA Power 3 or IAUS.com boys would look at this and go, yeah. We've got some solutions that these guys could, you know, certainly use. But the headline reads, Russia's floating nuclear plant heads out to sea. Now, what you've got is this big old, like it says, it's a floating, like a barge, basically. And they built this big nuclear plant on it. And so it has to be pushed by these like tugboats or whatever, I don't know, kind of thing. And they move them to places. They're planning on moving this to a offshore of a city of 300,000 people, the coast of what they call Murmansk, Murmansk, where the reactor's going to be loaded with nuclear fuel and put in service there. And I mean, you know, they've got a number of these other ones like this planned just to make sure that they've got power. So folks look to try to get power in a lot of ways in a lot of places. And this is just another one of them. I guess they say this plant would mean an estimated 45,000 tons of fuel or diesel oil doesn't have to be used. That's according to their website. So it's interesting just to see. Now, the Greenpeace boys are out, and they call this thing a floating Chernobyl or the nuclear Titanic. So I don't know, Sam.
Yeah, very strange. But again, we can only have these solutions, Kurt, if we want solutions.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, let me be very clear about that. We can only have the solutions that, our buddy we talked to on Saturday, Neldon Johnson, had at rawpower3.com, if we're willing to engage in these solutions. And as far as I can tell, they're shutting him down, just like they're shutting down the guy that says pray on his T-shirt. All right? Meanwhile, they're promoting the perversions. Well, they're promoting the non-solutions to put our society at risk. And then, hey, now that we got a nuclear plant controlled by the Russians at sea, then, man, you got to really fear for your life, Kurt. There's Al-Qaeda behind your left shoulder. They're the Russians with a nuclear plant in the sea. You better trade your liberty for security, my friend. And we accept this lie. And then if you speak up, you're just a mental case. And because you have, well, you got a problem with your gender identity. You have this masculinity crisis there going on, Kurt. And as a result, you can't even engage. But let's end on this topic really quick. Any more on that Russian story really fast before we finish?
We can't really see much more.
But it heads out to sea. Why don't we find other solutions, folks? And if we just get governments out of the mix, we could have free market solutions in spades, folks.
Good point.
All right. The real reason that GOP lawmakers are retiring, Mo Brooks, what's he, of Alabama, Kurt?
Yeah, remember he was one of the guys in that whole Roy Moore run there. He was one of them that, you know, got beat. But, you know, he's saying some really interesting stuff, and yet I don't think hardly anybody's picking it up. But this came from rollcall.com, and the headline reads, basically, he suggests that Republicans are retiring because of assassination fears. And he points to the large number of GOP members on the baseball team. Remember how the ones got shot at on the team, who are leaving Congress. He even says that he has a, he said, notice a trend here. He said, I have a congressman who is a friend here who has a three-year-old daughter whose daughter was threatened with murder. You know, so that, we've talked about this kind of, you know, every so often about how it would be if you're there and you've got either threats to your wife or your life.
Yeah,
we
talk about this in relation to when somebody's going to do something good, Kurt, and then all of a sudden they flip-flop or all of a sudden they back away from it and we wonder why. And then we've basically articulated that this is the threat that could change people's games. And over the years, we've talked to people like former Congressman of Idaho, George Hansen, and a few others about this kind of stuff. This isn't just fake news stuff. This is a reality that we've seen, and now we have another congressman coming out and blatantly pointing to this reality, Kurt.
That's right. And he said the socialist Bernie Sanders wing of society was pushing for a revolution that would lead to Maoist level of violence. There are
By the way,
growing
Kurt, that's
number
why we
of
reject
level
revolution.
Leftists. That's right, good. There are a growing number of leftists who believe the way to resolve this is not at the ballot box, but through threats and sometimes through violence and assassinations. When pressed about his suggestions, Mo Brooks of Alabama, congressman down there, said it was a, quote, possible factor. He says, I don't think any of these people who are retiring would say that, but just looking at the numbers, he said, that's out of whack. And
well, whenever Hillary Clinton's close, there's a body count and there's threats and intimidation for sure. We need to lock her up. But again, we're not going to double down and find out why or how or what and get to the bottom of it. We're just going to talk about it and then back away from it. And our prayers are with Donald. Our prayers are with all the congressmen and senators. I don't care what side of the aisle they come from or what their beliefs are. I think Bernie Sanders is a nut that's calling for revolution. But I hope nothing even happens to Bernie. I politically completely disagree, 180 degrees different. But I want peace, not war. And I believe assassination is absolutely not the answer here. And I reject their attempts at violence, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right. We got to stand with the Prince of Peace for peace, using the supreme law of the land as our guide for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Will you help us at the Widow's Might Radio Network? We need all your funding to grow our presence in the media. It's going to take a lot of work, folks, but we need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.